This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The entire Massachusetts delegation is criticizing the latest MBTA service cuts. In an open letter to MBTA General Manager Steve Poftak, the state's full slate of senators and representatives are asking for information on why the T is moving forward with service cuts to train, subway, bus lines, despite an infusion of federal assistance from the newly signed American Rescue Plan. Here to discuss that with us is Massachusetts Congressman Stephen Lynch. Congressman Lynch, I know it's a busy day. Appreciate you making some time for Radio Boston.
No, good to be with you, Tiziana.
So just mentioned the letter from yesterday. On Monday, you also had some harsh words at a press conference for the MBTA. Why are you so deeply and personally engaged in this issue?
Well, these are our frontline workers, right? So they've been, in particular, there are 40, there were 40 conductors on the commuter rail who were told that they were going to be laid off or furloughed in the midst of this pandemic. So here they are, frontline workers. We're in the midst of trying to get the economy back on track. And we just gave the state another almost $1 billion on top of the billion plus that we gave them in the CARES Act. And while we are trying to help the governor open up the economy, they were cutting service to the very taxpayers who paid for the bailout of the MBTA, and they're laying off the very workers who have been doing heroic service in driving the trains and driving the buses. So I do want to say that this morning I did have a follow-up meeting with General Manager Poftak.
Okay.
After our earlier conversation yesterday that did not go well, they got back to us, and they have reconsidered their decision to furlough the 40 workers. So those 40 conductors, I'm happy to say, will not be laid off.
And those were Keolis workers. Excuse me. I just want to clarify, because this is news. You're talking about the Keolis workers from the commuter rail. Is that correct?
Right. I had met with them about a week ago. Yeah, so I met with the union heads of the 40 workers. Yeah, they were for Keolis, who has a contract with the MBTA to operate the commuter rail. So those 40 workers, as of my conversation with Mr. Poftak this morning, they relented, and they said they would not be laying off those 40 conductors, which is good. And so that part of the problem apparently has been solved. And they asked for an opportunity to review the service cuts as well to see if there was a way to bring those back as well. I think it may involve bringing additional employees onto the payroll. They discussed the need for training and other steps that might be necessary in order to bring that service back. So we're going to give them an opportunity to do that as well.
So I just want to clarify all this because news is moving quickly. So you spoke with General Manager Steve Poftak both yesterday and today. You were dissatisfied with yesterday's meeting. You spoke with him again today.
Yeah.
As a result, the furloughs of the Keolis employees has been undone. And you're hearing that they may actually roll back some of the service cuts as well?
That is correct. That's fair enough. Roll back some of the service cuts. Yeah. They did want an opportunity to review. So, having them stop the layoffs was good. And I thought I owed them an opportunity since they saw the rightness in that decision. I thought we should give them an opportunity to review their service requirements. And they are issuing a joint statement, my staff and Mr. Poftak's staff, just to memorialize the agreement that we had that would prevent the layoffs of the 40 workers and also moving forward. I'll try to get a copy of that letter to you when it's available.
Fantastic. Thank you. We'll be able to put it on our website at radioboston.org. Is there a timeline for when they'll get back to you on this reconsideration of service cuts or explicit next steps that you're intending to kind of hold the MBTA accountable to and follow up to these two meetings?
Sooner rather than later was the understanding in terms of their review of service cuts and trying to restore it. Again, they raised the issue of bringing people onto the payroll. During the pandemic, there's been a certain level of attrition. No layoffs, but there's been a certain level of attrition among MBTA and Keolis workers, largely due to people being close to retirement and then not wanting to obviously put their families at risk and just deciding to retire early. So apparently there's been a drop off in the workforce. And so now they believe in order to sustain some of these services, they may have to bring people onto the payroll, not back onto the payroll, but bring in new employees. And there's training that is necessary, especially with the pandemic ongoing. So that may take a bit of time. I'm not certain.
So this is helpful to hear, and it allows me to then ask you a couple of other sort of pick our heads up questions, Congressman. When we had talked to General Manager Poftak here on this show on Monday, we had played some of your criticism from Monday morning. He gave us a response that really emphasized the long-term risks to the T budget by decreased ridership. And so the stimulus money, the money from the American Rescue Plan, will help. But if ridership stays down year over year, what are your expectations for how the T should manage that revenue shortfall, given your concerns about service cuts? Or do you feel like this $1 billion that comes out of the American Rescue Plan should cover the T for a number of years?
Well, great question. Here's the key. This is all about timing. So we think that this pandemic is going to change transportation patterns in Massachusetts. It's going, all over the country, that's going to happen. So people are working from home. We're concerned about the demand for office space in Boston, but there's going to be a reconfiguration of our transportation patterns. What I objected to was that Mr. Poftak was basing his service cut decisions on the situation right now when people are hunkered down. We're just now getting the vaccines out. And so what I argued with him was that, look, it is better to maintain the services now. We just gave the state, the T $1 billion. Let's maintain the services now. After we figure out what that reconfiguration of transportation patterns might be, we can obviously direct services in response to demand. And I think that's the way we should do this. For instance, they were arguing that they wanted to cut ferry service to my constituents in Scituate and Hull and Hingham and Cohasset, Quincy and Weymouth, and they wanted to keep it going, keep the ferry service going in December, January, February, and then they wanted to curtail the service on the ferry May, June, and July, which didn't make sense to me. That's the busier season they were canceling out. So what I was asking them to do is to just keep the services in place. Let's measure demand when we feel like we're back to a somewhat more normal pattern of activity. They're expecting the end of the summer or early fall to be a good measuring point. And then at that point, there will have to be a reassessment of transportation needs in the Commonwealth and probably regionally. So I think that is a better time to look at the facts and base our transportation policy on real-time demand, not on what's going on right now, because this is an aberration right now that, ridership is down 92% or 94%. This is not the measurement you want to take in terms of planning long-term transportation demand.
So that then raises an interesting question, because we're in an aberration in pretty much every aspect of our economy, because this is a once in 100 years level of pandemic here in the United States. It feels to me as an observer that this relationship between the congressional delegation and the Baker administration in this case is a little unusual. Should we expect to see this kind of back and forth between members of the delegation and the Baker administration on other aspects of policy related to the money that's coming in from the American Rescue Plan? Could that be a part of our new normal as we all seek to recover here?
I think there might be certain aspects of that. I think that in a couple of contexts, one being this bill, because we fought very hard for specific provisions, you know, for schools and you know, we have a restaurant revitalization bill. We have a lot of money in there for daycare and other needs that have been exacerbated by the pandemic, and we're hoping that our priorities are in harmony with the governor's priorities, and I think they mostly are. You know, this is exceptional with the MBTA, where we're trying to put people back to work and they're laying off people. That's a clear dichotomy. However, in the upcoming transportation bill, for instance, there are what they used to call earmarks, but now they call local community priorities that will be inserted in the bill. And there might be differences there where our local towns and cities have asked us to make certain projects a priority in those local cities and towns. I'm hoping that the governor and the Secretary of Transportation, Secretary Pollock, are on the same page. I think they are. I invited them down about 18 months ago. They came down and we tried to make sure that the governor's priorities are the same as the members of the delegation, the congressional delegation, and they seem to be. They seem to be. There's a need to, you know, build two new bridges over the Cape Cod Canal that Mr. Keating has been extremely involved in, and also this idea of East-West Rail that Chairman Neal and Chairman McGovern have been interested in, and which actually would help Eastern Massachusetts a great deal in terms of the insane housing costs that we're seeing right yeah. now. So we think there is general harmony, but there might be instances where, you know, the member of Congress for a certain district may have different priorities than the governor might. But that hasn't come up yet.
Well, Massachusetts Congressman Stephen Lynch, I really appreciate, again, I know it's a busy day, appreciate you making the time, and I hope you will come back and join us again soon as we continue to sort of track our steps towards recovery.
Of course. Happy to do that, Tiziana. Good to be with you. Take care now.
Thanks. Thanks. You too. So listening there to that conversation was a friend of Radio Boston, Jim Aloisi, former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation and a board member of the advocacy group Transit Matters. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. That was a fun conversation.
I'm glad you thought on some news there. So what I'm looking for is your reaction to all the information we just heard from Congressman Lynch.
Well, it's good news to hear that there's apparently a commitment to stop laying people off and to take a hard look at the service cuts. And let's see, you know, the devil is always in the details here, but I think the congressman earlier this week stepped up to the plate. From my perspective, it's the kind of leadership I yearn for. By just calling this out and saying, you know, the federal government has given Massachusetts transit agencies, the T, a total of almost $2 billion, with the B, $2 billion in the past 2 years. And with $2 billion, the idea that we have to cut service or lay people off is not credible. It's just not credible. And so I'm glad that he was able to get this apparent victory, and I look forward to seeing it implemented.
You heard the congressman tell me that this is partly a question of timing, that he understands that ridership could be down for a long time, but that now it sounded to me that he was saying now when we're trying to recover is not the time. So could we, in your mind, see appropriate service cuts down the road?
No, in fact, I think the opposite. So for two reasons. One, we're in the process now of getting more and more people vaccinated. As people get vaccinated, their behavior patterns will change. They'll want to be more engaged in the normal course of business activity, including returning to work, maybe more flexibly, not 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, but maybe 3 days a week, 10 to four. But that is already beginning to happen. If you read what people are saying in the business community, that's what they're expecting. Harvard and MIT have both said everyone's back on campus in fall. That's a lot of people moving in and out of the city. We need a transit system, both commuter rail and subway and bus, that is already able to respond to them. In other words, the T's pattern, which is to say we're going to wait until riders tell us when they want to ride and then we'll change. By the time they wait, it's too late. You've got to prepare now. And by preparing now, what I've been calling for is changing service plans. We need, for example, commuter rail to run every 30 minutes all day long, so that that person who wants to commute flexibly to work or to other destinations is able to do that reliably on a regional rail system that's responding to real life post-COVID mobility needs.
Jim, I appreciate the analysis. Just in a sentence,
yes.
Were you surprised to see this kind of back and forth between our delegation and the Baker administration this week?
Yes, because it doesn't happen very often. But I think it was a demonstration that the congressional delegation saw this as a flashpoint, as a point of crisis. They are working very hard and getting some criticism, you know, across the country, the Democrats are, for using reconciliation to pass this bill. And if I was in the Congress and I had just provided the MBTA with almost $2 billion of funding, I'd have greater expectations than service cuts and layoffs. So I think what we saw was the congressman responding to that flashpoint. And I think, thankfully, as he's reported, what we're about to see is the T being responsive to it. And being responsive to him means being responsive yep. to everyone.
Jim Aloisi, former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation, thanks for joining us. Helpful to have your analysis.
Thanks.
Listeners, WBUR News reached out to the MBTA for confirmation of Representative Lynch's comments. The MBTA confirmed that Keolis will not go forward with the planned furloughs for 40 employees. About reconsidering service cuts, the MBTA said, quote, with ridership remaining at less than a third of pre-pandemic levels, the MBTA continues to monitor work and travel patterns and match service to ridership with increasing service for the most transit-critical communities. As it plans ahead for the long-term budget impacts of the pandemic, the T will responsibly spend federal stimulus dollars and monitor ridership and make adjustments as necessary, end quote.